What's up? It's your boy, the Ted Smith from the Men's Room. And did you know I have a podcast? Well, I do. The Podcast. New episodes uploaded every Wednesday on the Odyssey app.
99.9 KISW. We return to the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill.
We'll get there before you know. KISW proudly presenting the first ever Halloween Hullabaloo with Godsmack and Hailstorm Sunday, October 13th at the Showwear Center in Kent. If you do not have tickets, head to KISW.com. They have a four-pack, $99, and I believe 99 cents.
Of course.
Is what I heard Castle say. So join us for a great night with Hailstorm and with Godsmack. KISW.com for that ticket package. On a question, what unexpected thing made contact with your person? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Sammy. Welcome to the Men's Room.
Hola, bichola.
Hola.
Yeah, I was at lunch. I worked at the shipyard in Bremerton, and I was out at lunch, and I was getting ready to cross the street. I pushed the button, and the light came on to cross, and this car turned in front of me, and I looked down the street going, dang. So I continued with my walk, and next thing I know, I get hit by another car turning left.
Damn.
And I wake up underneath the car with some lady patting me on the hand going, hello, are you okay? Are you okay? Are you okay? But I did get knocked out. The ambulance came and took me away. I mean, I'm okay, but I had to go to the hospital and everything. Yeah, it was.
Well, how bad were your medical bills?
They were pretty, not really bad. I got my money's worth out of it.
Okay.
But, yeah.
All right. Did you get representation on that?
Yes, I did.
Okay,
that was one of the first things I did.
All right,
for sure.
There you go.
Yeah. Okay,
make sure, because you never know, man. You might have some problem with your shoulder, your neck, your back down the road, your head, whatever the deal is.
Reach out to the advocates at advocateslaw.com.
You know, like if you start drooling when you use your microwave, whatever, you never know what's going to happen down the road.
So somebody, you actually said, dang, about the car that blew the light, and right after that, you got hit by another car.
Exactly.
You should have saved your dang. Do you remember what kind of car it was that hit your ass?
Oh, no, I don't. Like I said, I got knocked out. Like, next thing I know, the car, I'm looking up underneath the car, and some lady was holding my hand. Are you okay? Are you okay? You know, patting me on the hand and everything. So I had to back up the car so that the ambulance could put me on the stretcher and take me away.
Did you spend time in the hospital after that?
No, I just stayed this the day.
Okay.
And I released myself. I didn't go back to work that day, but...
I would not either. I cannot believe you just got barely missed by getting hit by a car, and then the next car coming
and said, dang.
That's going to hit you instead.
Yeah. Well, the guy who answered the phone said I couldn't cuss, so that's why I said dang.
Yeah, I understand. Right. Yes, yeah. I'm sure it was more colorful at the time.
Oh, yeah.
I'm sure it was. Yes. All right. Well, you guys have a good one.
Yeah, you too. That sucks.
I like people that, you know, and I know it's what we always say. And I'm like, are you okay? Are you okay? Like, you just hit me with the car. No. I am alive. Yeah. We will see the extent of my injuries, but am I okay? No.
There's the way our road works on 5th, right in front of our building. It is one way up until the point where you get to the intersection where our building is. Then it stops from being one way to where buses come up the other side.
Buses
come from the south end. Mostly it's only buses. Occasional police officer car. Either way, this guy, we're outside having a cigarette. This guy stepped in front of the bus, and the bike rack, there might have been a bike or two on the bike rack, just based on the sound. It was like, boom! And I mean, it threw that mother... He was flying through the air, at least 5 feet. And then he kind of got up. The bus driver opened the door, got out of the bus, you know, checking on this guy. He sat on the sidewalk, so lo and behold, you know, make sure that guy's okay. He seems to be okay.
I think it helped that he was high.
Something was going on. We went back upstairs.
Yeah.
Came back down, you know, 25 minutes later. And he's still, now he's being questioned and talked to by EMT. But he refused treatment.
He didn't want anything to do with it, man.
He absolutely walked across the street at the end of it, just pulled up his pants and said, F it. And, I mean, but the sound of him getting hit by that bus, I could not believe that he just popped up like that.
Again, I think it helps that you're high. The only other time I've seen someone get hit by a vehicle, my buddy Willis, and I've told this before, super high on heroin, and this particular road, everyone knew to jog across, and there's kind of a blind turn coming up. Not a ton of traffic, but if there is traffic, they're doing about 40. And sure enough, this is at night, we can see the headlights coming. Everybody darts across the street. Well, Willis is high on heroin, so his version of speed is a little different than ours. And this car, I mean, just boom, hits his ass, launches him. Both of his shoes come off. I don't know why I found that part so funny.
That's pretty common.
Not in the moment, but I just remember it looked like he exploded, but it's not him. It's just his shoes. But he lands in the middle of the street, and he's 20, 25 feet away from this now dented car. And this woman that's driving the car, she's freaking the hell out, you know, for obvious reasons, but gets out of the car. And as we're, like, two of my buddies are going up to go check on Willis. And keep in mind, he is crumpled in the middle of the street. This woman, her eyes are all bugged up, and she's just looking down at him like, oh, my God, I didn't see him. And we're like, lady, look, not that it's okay, but this is not your fault. It's not your fault. And as we're having this conversation with her, you just see the silhouette of Willis. I mean, and I swear to God, it looked like a zombie movie, right? Because the way he splattered kind of on the ground, it's your limbs land wherever they limb. And all of a sudden, they kind of just right to themselves. And, like, he sits up and then just stands up like nothing happened. And the first words out of his mouth, where the F are my shoes?
Oh, no.
Like, Willis, we'll get them. So at this point, we just tell the lady, like, hey, just trust us. This is not worth sticking around for. Just go. Just leave. She was more than happy to oblige. Anyway, we all crash at my buddy's house. Next morning, we wake up. Willis has no recollection that any of this happened. But when he sits up, man, he's just holding his side. And he's like, God damn, man, what happened last night? I feel like I got hit by a truck. Willis, you got hit by a car. He's like, no, seriously, man, what happened? Like, Willis, you got hit by a car. He's like, for real, man? We're like, yeah, you were high on heroin. We tried to run across the street, Howard Street. You got hit by this car. It launched your ass. Luckily, you're super high and super stupid, and somehow you just kind of reformed your own body, got up, stumbled here, and crashed out on the sofa. But yeah, the reason you're in pain, a woman hit you in the Toyota. Like, I don't know what else to tell you, bro. That is what happened. There's nothing more, nothing less. There's nothing exciting about it. Got hit by a damn car.
What unexpected thing made contact with your person? 206-803-ROCK.
And you're right, because it's like being high already gives you, like, that probably helped him.
I get it.
But also, you had adrenaline dump.
Right.
There's a lot of people that have massive injury. I mean, hell, I've done it, right?
Yeah, the adrenaline.
I mean, I've been
to
the hospital where they're like, that injury's bad. It is not going to hurt. It's going to hurt worse tomorrow.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. But the one thing that you have when you're super high, or they'll say there's a lot about, like, super drunk people, just you don't tense up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? If you're sober and you know something bad's about to happen, you automatically tense up. When you're that high or that drunk, like, you don't tense up, you get hit. You take the brunt of it, but you recover better. So lucky for Willis, he was strung out on heroin. Then he quit heroin. We hadn't seen him for like a year and a half. We just assumed he died because at that point, a lot of the cats we knew had died that were strung out on heroin. And one day he rolls back into the bar and we almost didn't recognize him except he was particularly short of stature, but he had to have put on like 90 pounds. And we were like, Willis, and you could just clear a voice. His eyes are clear. You know, he's taught him how to clean himself up, blah, blah, blah. And we were like, man, we're not trying to sound mean. We didn't know you were fat. He was like, I didn't either. He was dead serious. Like, I'm not doing anything extra. He's like, I'm just eating what normal people eat. He's like, I'm a big guy. We were like, we didn't know. He was always like, yeah, E.T. Yeah.
What's an unexpected thing made contact with your person? 206-803-ROCK.
That's kind of funny. It's like, I didn't know I could gain weight.
Seriously, he didn't know. I mean, he had, like, fat cheeks, double chin, but the whole time we knew him, seriously, like, E.T., big fat ass head, and the rest of them just rail thin, man. So kind of filled out. We're like, you look good as a chubby dude, man. Certainly better than you do as a heroin addict.
Right, I was going to say, that's one time where it's like, no, this is a good thing.
It's a good thing, man. Hello, Phil. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
Love the show.
Oh, hey, thank you.
Thank you, man.
This was way back in the Kingdom days. We were playing Chicago, so I forked out the money and took my girlfriend to the game. I wanted to see Walter Payton run live, and we parked ourselves, and, you know, the Kingdom had concrete levels, and our seats were just below the shoulder level of the road behind us. Anyway, after a while, I think it was around halftime, the guys behind me, three or four big ex-jocks or present jocks or whatever, and they were drinking beer, and then they were relieving themselves in these, half-gallon quart cups. And you know what happened next. After a while, it's going to happen. They spilled one of the containers over, and it spilled between my girlfriend and I.
Mm.
And what was I going to do? I'm 5'7". I wasn't going to confront these guys. So we got up, left, and it was the last football game I ever went to.
That's
so,
the last football game you've
so
been
that,
to.
So that was the sweetness you got.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay.
Ridiculous, you know. I mean, I just don't like going to the games anymore because of all the rowdy people. And I'm not exactly young.
Well,
and I just don't want to put up with it.
It's well, like most people don't do that.
Yeah, that's I mean, that's a unique experience. I've seen people throw up on other people there. But
people will spill beer or they will spill popcorn. Typically, they don't spill urine that they've been paying into a cup. At least that's been my experience. Definitely gotten splashed with beer, soda. My kid splashed the guys in front of us. My son knocked his soda over, and it didn't hit the guy on the shoulders, but the cup just kind of tipped, but it did a little waterfall between our sections. So it rolls down out of ours, goes under his feet, but he's sitting there with his kids. So the guy turns around and like gives me the stink eye. I'm going to be like, bro, I have a beer in my hand. That was a soda. You know it was my kid, but either way, fine. Just like, sorry. And I think he was pissed because he'd put all of like his food and his kid's food down to their feet. So he had to move his nachos and move the hot dog. Yep. I did kind of feel bad, but I'm like it wasn't on purpose, and it's just soda.
Mm-hmm. I will say that. I've seen a lot of, spilling. Like, I've never seen anybody just peeing in the stands.
No.
Or puking, luckily. But, like, I mean, I don't care whether it's a kid. It doesn't even have to be a drunk person. There's just
anything.
You're in kind of tight quarters.
And people are jumping up and down. I mean,
right, so it naturally kind of happens. But I saw it once in a suite it happened. And the guy didn't mean any harm, but the dude in front of him, like, freaked out, right? And was, like, a real a-hole about it. And was, like, blah, blah, blah. And it's, like, kind of like, dude, you're at a football game. Like, things happen.
Sure.
And then I went to a college game, and somehow somebody we used to work with was very good at swindling their way into stuff.
I can guess who.
So we, right. So we end up in, like, this was, I think, back in the day when Paul Allen was still around. It was, like, his suite, right? So these are, like, the top echelon people. And I remember, like, somebody spilled something in there, and everybody was like, yeah, it's a football game. Don't sweat it. And I was telling them, I was like, you should have seen a couple weeks ago. But I mean, that guy freaked out. It's like, dude, he got beer on your jacket. Like, he didn't need to. And he literally, it was like his first beer. He's trying to sit in his row, and it just spilled.
And the intent is everything. And certainly when people first get their beer, that to me is when the most spillage happens. Right? It's full to the top. They're taking a few sips, but they stop sipping it because they're going up or down the stairs, you know, depending where their seats are. And then everyone kind of stands up to make that little bit of room for you, but you're doing that sideways crab walk shimmy. And every step they take, you can see the beer splashing, and it's like three more steps. And that beer, there it is, and it lands on the side. I've had so much beer spilled on me, I don't even bother to turn around. Like, you understand the situation. I know that guy just got a beer. I understand some of it splashed on my shoulders. It's like, it's fine. It's fine.
I mean, look, and not making fun, but it happened to Mike and I. This was like 2 years ago. It's 4th of July. We're going to the Mariners game, right? So we meet up. We literally have just gotten a pitcher of beer. And same thing. What was like talking with our hands and just boom.
Right.
Right? And then like it never looks good because now it's just like Mike and I are the drunk guys at table one.
That is the worst.
I did knock one over, but then there was another.
But then there was another time we were there.
It floated.
Yeah, it had a slight tilt.
All right. And like I see what you're saying. It kind of
a little dampness got in there. So we, you know what? You're right. Maybe Mike did knock it over, but that first one was just like.
Because I was the drunk one that couldn't keep it together. I clearly did knock one over on you. I did do that. But then there was another time I went to the bathroom and I came back and everybody's giving me the stink eye again because my beer, the condensation had come down. There was enough around it, and it did. It floated down until it got to the middle of the two tables. No. And boom.
Haven't you ever sat at that bar, the old bar man just has a slope on it? Just kept to keep watching your beer flying off the condensation.
I am not that guy, and I was that guy twice that night, and I was so embarrassed I couldn't do it.
It's never a good one.
Right? That's what I'm saying.
What unexpected thing made contact with your person? 206-803-ROCK.
Ted, maybe you can relate to this. You wrestled in, what, junior high or high school?
I wrestled a year in high school.
Okay, someone here says, wrestled in high school. Opponent did not wear a jock strap. Felt his twig and berries across my face in a pin attempt, and then they add, not cool.
No, not.
Wrestling is one of those sports, though. You just know you're going to get uncomfortably close to somebody's everything.
I hope to wear a jock at least, man.
Yeah, but it happens. I mean, I was telling the story this weekend. My buddy Rob, we used to train jiu-jitsu together. He was much better. And at a certain point, I was just like, I don't. And he's like, you got to do something. Like, basically, my bees are just resting on your head now.
I'm surprised there's not that move in professional wrestling where the guy just sits on the guy's face and...
Somebody used to do that, man. Was it
There's King Kong Bundy.
Yeah, there's been like giant dudes that like kind of that was their move.
If
like,
you're really ugly or really heavy, yeah, they drop their big sweaty ass on top of you. And, you know, the guy was getting pinned down. You see their legs kicking and arms flailing. And I'm like, that's the one time they're not acting. Right? That's the one time like, okay, man. You know, even though I know we're playing around, but your sweaty ass is still on top of my face.
What unexpected thing made contact with your person? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Randy. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bitch, hola.
Hola.
So, gosh, I'm 51 now. I'm 18 years old at this point in Korea. In the army over there, my specialty at the time it was a combat engineer. So we dealt with explosives, and we're out in the field, and we're setting off. It's what they called a MICLC charge, which I think it stood for like mine clearing charge. So just this massive rope that shoots off this rocket, and we're about half the distance safety wise that we're supposed to be, you know, from this thing when it goes off. And I'm throwing a dart at how many pounds? I want to say 80 to 90 pounds of explosives were going to go off when this thing finally exploded. But we're supposed to be hiding behind this armored personnel carrier, and my 18-year-old self wanted to see what this explosive was going to be all about with it. So I stepped to the left of this armored personnel carrier to where I had a view of this explosive going off. And when it went off, you would have thought it was the shockwave that felt like Babe Ruth hit me in the chest with a bat, but no, it was a piece of shrapnel that hit me in the thing. I was wearing a flak vest, but yeah, it sent me back a couple steps, and I'm lucky to be here, but that was the unexpected item for me.
Wow. No ribs broken, no nothing?
No, and probably a centimeter away from actually fully penetrating through that flak vest, because it was definitely a piece of shrapnel off of off of the charge itself, but it went right through the middle of like where the Velcro and stuff went right in the middle of the vest, actually zipping back down, if you want to call it zipping. But yeah, felt pretty close.
Is that in all your time in the military, was that the most dangerous situation?
Yeah, definitely in training, not outside of training, but yeah, that was definitely the most dangerous training wise.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Now, as someone who worked with explosives, when you get to civilian life, does any of that translate to what you do now?
You know, I certainly wanted it to when I got out. I did about 8 years in, and I thought, you know, I bet those guys that set off all fireworks, you know, maybe all space needle and stuff, they make pretty good money, and but they also just traveled everywhere, and it was, you know, it was limited. There were only so many companies that were hiring.
Needed someone to blow up stuff.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. So I was curious.
I worked
at
McDonald's to blow up Wendy's in the area.
Wow.
Yeah, I was going to say.
I thought they would have got Burger King. They went straight for Wendy's.
Not like a normal day.
Right.
What can I blow up for someone?
That is a weird, yeah.
I mean, it's cool to have that expertise. Demolition,
yes. Yeah. On buildings and things like that, I guess.
But how often do you do it? Let's say you're the guy on top of a Humvee.
Yeah.
And you run the 50 cal. Right? Like, there's not too many jobs where it's going to be like, hey, Mike, you're really good with that 50 cal weapon. Will you help us?
Because we have Wendy's and McDonald's that's been trying to kill us.
Got peed on in the Superdome. Who did they call?
Not right.
They called somebody to blow the damn thing up. I mean, there's somebody out there who does it.
Yeah. I mean,
What unexpected thing made contact with your person? 206-803-ROCK.
99.9 KISW. The men's room returns with Miles and Thrill.
Taryn Daly from the Daily Mix Morning Show joining us. We'll sit and spin. We've got the 10 funniest country songs of all times. Coming up right after emails on our question, what unexpected thing made contact with your person? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Andy. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, gentlemen.
Hola.
We are going to travel back in time a little bit to 1985.
Back in time.
85. Hold on for a minute. I'm not there yet. Right now I'm in 2024. All right. 2008. Give me a second. There goes 1995. Hold on.
Look at your stupid hair in 95.
Where? What was I doing?
What were you?
It's like the same Peyton Manning cut. Oh, wait. Hold on. I'm almost there. What'd you say? What year again?
85.
Okay. I'm listening to Van Halen's 1984. Uh-huh. I think I'll wait's the hit right now. Okay, go ahead.
So we were going down to Westport in Kansas City because the Royals had just won the World Series. It was the I-70 series against the Cardinals, and it was a big party. We're down there. We're in my buddy's 67 Chevelle convertible. Somebody had just finished opening an unpopped bag of popcorn, and it went everywhere. The next thing I know, I'm on the ground. My buddies are picking me up, telling me, you just got hit by a beer bottle that came flying out of the sky.
What?
I don't think they meant to hit me. They were just chucking stuff everywhere.
Ooh, thank you.
Huh. Stuff. Yeah.
So I almost had a bad word.
Yeah, we got
that. Yeah. So they were throwing in the vicinity of the crowd?
Yeah, people were just throwing stuff up in the air. I mean, it was bumper to bumper, elbows, and you know what's against people. And they said this bottle just came out of the sky, hit me in the temple, and dropped me to the ground.
Damn. Okay. Damn, dude. How long did it take you to recover from that?
All the alcohol I had consumed before then probably helped. A couple hours, I was back to normal.
Okay.
Ish. Well, they warned people not to shoot their gun in the air on New Year's Eve and other festive, holidays.
Every year.
Fourth of July, whatever. And somebody's going to get hit in the top of the head somewhere.
It's always the middle of the city. They're like, a lot of people live here. So when you fire up in the air, you know the bullets, they do come back down.
What unexpected thing made contact with your person? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Kyle. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola. Happy Tuesday.
Yeah, man.
So I grew up on a small farm in Indiana, and we raised cattle and hogs and stuff like that. I was about 7 or so. I was too little to really be helping out, but we had to castrate some calves and turn them into steers. Well, I was there with my dad in the vet. They'd done about 5 or 6 at this point, so we had 10 or 12 testicles in a pot or in a bucket. Well, we let one of the calves go, and he kicked the bucket hard enough that they kind of went flying. I was back a little ways. One of them hit me square in the face. I didn't quite know what hit me until I looked down just in time to see one of the dogs grabbing this thing and running off to go eat it somewhere. That's when I realized what it was, and because I was a little kid, I was grossed out, started crying, and had to go tell my mom that I got hit in the face with a bull nut.
Well, those are probably pretty big. Are they tennis ball size?
Maybe like an elongated tennis ball, if you think about it that.
Like an oval. Okay.
Yeah. And how much would you estimate the average bull testicle weighs?
Well, these were just, young calves. They weren't very big. I'd say they're probably...
Yeah, me neither. No.
And I'm kind of happy about that. So, if you grow up on a farm, right...
I'm sure you touch a lot of weird stuff.
You obviously know what hard work is and all that. But when you grow up, say you move to the city or you're not living on a farm anymore, what skill from the farm best translates to the everyday thing?
Work ethic.
Work ethic, without a doubt. Yeah. Probably get up early. You're not going to bitch about physical stuff.
It's 7 days a week. You don't take a day off on the farm. The farm does not stop because you need a day off.
Isn't that the least appealing part of a farm? I mean, honestly, just like
Sunday.
Everyone still needs to be fed.
Sunday?
The animals still need to be fed.
You still got to do something.
Yeah. It seems to me like you always have to do a chore in the morning or the evening. One way or another. Even if you go to church on Sunday morning, when you get back, you got crap to do.
But animals don't respect the weekend. Like, I have kids. It's not like it's just Monday through Friday. But on the weekends, they recognize that it's the weekend, too. So they want to do their own. You know what I mean? They don't ask a lot of us now that they're old enough to do things themselves. I can't imagine, my herd of cattle going, nah, dude, it's cool. It's the weekend. We're just going to chill. You still got to get out here. You still got to milk us. Where was it? I think it's a northern state. I cannot remember where. But as their state fairs are going on, like a lot of states, their cattle are going through a bird flu thing right now. So they're worried that if they bring their actual cattle to this fair, which apparently whatever state this is, that's one of their main attractions, it might get people sick. Well, one of the things at this fair that are super popular, God, I wish I could remember the state, is milking cows. All right, so they can't bring the real ones. So they have 4 or 5 fiberglass cows with rubber udders that they have filled with cream that you can still go up and milk the cow.
All right, okay.
And I'm like, but if I'm a kid, right, and for whatever reason that appeals to me,
I'd rather do that than the actual cow.
I want the cow, man. It's kind of, look.
Do you want to grab an, have you ever done it?
Yes, I have. I've done it once in my life.
I've done it once.
It's definitely, it's an interesting experience once you figure out the right technique.
Sure.
And then once you get it, you realize how much milk you can get out. But until then, it's kind of a feeling around process as far as how to work that bad boy.
But I feel like if I'm going to do it, I would just prefer to be the real cat. Like, it's not an exercise that I particularly enjoy. I would just prefer to be on an actual cow.
It was. You know,
I think Minnesota's... So a few of these state fairs, right, that are going on in the Midwest just canceled the cow stuff.
Okay.
Right? Like, we're not going to have them. But it looks like Minnesota was the one...
With the fiberglass stand-ins.
Fake dairy cow named Olympia.
Yeah, I mean, like, come on.
I mean, for the kids, I think it's fine. I mean, look, it was weird. When I was in grade school, we took a field trip to a farm.
We did the same
and
thing.
And milked a cow.
Yeah, because we didn't live out in those areas. So they're like, hey. And
that's practical.
And the thing I remember about a farm is the one thing I always forget about the zoo until you actually take your kids to the zoo is how bad they smell.
Yeah. Especially when the wind blows. You can just be downwind from a farm. Like when I lived in Hagerstown, every day smelled like crap.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, literally.
It really did. And especially in the spring. When the snow melts, the sun hit those patties that have been sitting under there for the entire winter season.
And they're like, we're back.
It's thick, man. I mean, you almost see, like, it's almost like looking at the heat lines off of the road.
Right.
Just a stench coming off of the...
I was going to say, the other thing I remember about that field trip was that you didn't have to milk the cow.
All right.
It's kind of like, if anybody wants to, go ahead. So, of course, you know me. I was like, I got to milk this cow. And then... I think I probably talked about it for 2 years. Like, well, I know a little bit about cows. I milked one.
I remember milking a thing. I just remember like how weird it felt to my hand.
I just didn't want I didn't want milk ruined for me. It did not ruin milk.
It didn't ruin milk.
It did not look like milk either.
No,
it does not look like milk. It's got more of a yellow hue to it. It's a lot more thin. It's
and don't you got to? I remember we kind of had to like squeeze it at an angle to get into the bucket.
Yeah, you got to find like how to open up the valve.
Yeah,
and bam, you got it.
It's like filling up a whoopee cushion.
Also, it's like. When it hits the
When
it hits the pan, man, it's like it's jet stream.
And technically, and then like their udders, if I'm thinking about this right, so cows essentially have one giant boob with like four nipples hanging off of it. That's not appealing. Like as a kid, that's not how I processed it. As I got older and kind of made that connection, I'm like, I don't ever want to do that again, man. Mm-hmm. You got some ugly, ugly nipples.
What unexpected thing made contact with your person? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Robin. Welcome to the men's room.
What's up?
Hola.
Okay, 1978. I'm in eighth grade. I grew up in Southern California, went to a private school, and we had horses as part of the curriculum. Hmm. So I was on the horse crew, which meant that every morning I went and grabbed my horses and tacked them up and everything.
Robin, real quick, what part of the curriculum do the horses figure into?
PE.
Oh. Really?
Where is this? Riverside? Where in the hell did you grow up?
No. I grew up in Woodland Hills in the San Fernando Valley.
Okay.
And this school was in Malibu off Las Virgenes Road. It was called Mountain View Academy. And my parents decided I was going to go there because they were doing busing in the valley. And they were going to do reverse busing that year where they were going to take all the kids valley and bus them out to Watts. And my dad said, you want to bet?
Right.
You're going to private school. So I was thrilled that there were horses there because I love to ride. But we got this new horse in. His name was Pete. He was huge. And I walked over to get him one day, and he reached out and he bit me on the boob.
Oh, no.
Yeah. And it hurt like hell. And all I remember is just reaching out and just punching him square between the eyes.
That was your first mammogram, so to speak.
Yeah, you're not kidding.
Golly. Okay.
Did it leave like teeth marks or a big bruise on your boob?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, teeth.
Well, have you ever seen the videos of the horses that stand guard, like the Royal Palace and all that in England? They're kind of known for biting people who go up trying to take pictures with them.
Those are, because you're not supposed to touch those horses.
Right, but people will come up and try to take a selfie or whatever, and those big black horses with the long hair, they're like a dancing horse. Where the hell are they?
I mean, they have signs that say, like, you could take a picture, but, like,
don't do a selfie.
Right, like, just, like, be warned.
Good luck.
They bite people.
And that cannot feel good.
But as human beings, we determine that no matter how big or brutal the animal potentially could be, once you say, hey, man, don't touch it, our first thought is, I need to touch this.
I got
to
touch it.
There's a woman that jumped out at the tiger enclosure at whatever zoo.
In New York City.
Yeah, she climbed over the initial fence. There's still another fence, but
she got arrested.
Yeah. I mean, she stuck her hand into the tiger cage, and the tiger acted like tigers and wanted to rip her arm off. It managed to miss, but she took a selfie. It's like, they got signs. They got two fences. Like, what are you doing? What? Yellowstone. Like, I'm going to go touch a bison. When have you heard about it ending well?
What unexpected thing made contact with your person? 206-803-ROCK, or even the thermals, you know.
Hello, John. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
Hey, guys. I love your show.
Oh,
hey,
thank you, man.
Thank you, brother.
It's awesome. So, check this out. I was my first concert ever. I lived in Morristown, New Jersey. My dad would not let me go to a concert, but AC/DC was playing at a movie theater for their Powerage tour. And so I got dropped off at the movie theater. And so at the concert, it was with Bon Scott. And they had wireless back in those days, 1978, I believe, maybe 79. And Angus Young gets on Bon Scott's shoulders, and they come up through the aisle playing, doing a lead solo. And I'm on an aisle seat, and here comes Bon Scott, and I go to give him a high five, and I miss. And he turns, and my hand slipped down Angus Young's sweaty back when I was 13 years old.
Okay. Well, that's kind of cool, man. I mean,
is it?
It's AC/DC. I mean,
I know, but sweat isn't the thing. I know what you mean. Like, if I had to touch someone sweaty.
Ew.
Oh.
No, that was my first concert experience.
Does that mean you were old enough to maybe make it down to Action Park in the 80s? Yeah.
No, I ended up moving to California 2 years later.
Okay, all right.
Touch this sweaty bag. Kind of gross.
I mean, I did it when I was emceeing Cagesport MMA. I did it to my buddy Drew. He won this championship. It was an epic, like, just battle, right? So he's got the belt and everything, and it just didn't dawn on me. And it's like I'm standing there, and I put the microphone with my left hand in front of him. I just put my hand on his back. And, like, but then it's like, well, I got to keep it there. And I think afterwards I was like, you're really sweaty. He's like, yeah, man, don't touch me after a fight. Of course I'm sweaty.
But, no, you're right, but that's what they tell you to
like,
do.
Yeah, and like, I just, you know, brain slip, just like, yeah.
I mean, it happens, and I've told this before, but we were playing the new originals, you know, playing a KISW show. I don't remember where we were, but having a pretty good show. We may or may not have partaken in some drugs before we went out on stage, but I'm sniffling a lot, right? But you're hot, you're sweaty, whatever. And I can't even remember the chick's face. I just remember you kind of see these people in the front row just because of where the lights are. You really can't see much. And I got my head whipping around, man, and the snot rocket dislodges from mine. There's nothing I can do about it. Like, it's left my nose before I can sniffle, all right? But this thing is huge and it's clear, but it goes flipping vertically up in the air. It looked like, 2001 A Space Odyssey. They show that thing kind of spinning that way. And I'm watching this thing in the light because I got all the stage lights up there. And this thing disappears between this lady's boobs in the front row. I mean, it just, boom, lands right between her cleavage. I don't know if she noticed because I didn't stick around. I was kind of not quite exit stage left, but I'm like, I'm going to move to this side of the stage a little bit. Never heard anything about it. But after the show, I'm like, man, I shot a coked up snot rocket into a woman's boobs. They're like, why?
I didn't mean to.
Wasn't on purpose, man. It just flipped out and disappeared. So if that was you... Sorry.
Unlike a Florida man who was arrested last week for spitting on a Walmart employee during an altercation, Channon Cooks, 37, of Palm Coast, was taken to the Flagler County Jail on a battery charge. A deputy responded after receiving a complaint of battery. When he arrived, he spoke with the Walmart employee, who said she had been involved in an altercation with a customer, later identified as Cooks, which then escalated, and the incident was caught on the store surveillance cameras. The altercation began when Cooks tried to return merchandise without a receipt. And the woman told law enforcement, Cooks became highly upset about the matter and lunged at her. She said he spat in her face repeatedly while yelling, "I have a cold!" Cooks told authorities that it was all a misunderstanding and that he had unintentionally sneezed on the employee while having a conversation with her about exchanging baby formula. He was placed under arrest for battery, and while being put in the patrol vehicle, he continued to tell deputies, "I really sneezed. I'm being detained for sneezing. This is unbelievable. What unexpected thing made contact with your person? 206-803-ROCK.
Hello, Bruce. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
Well, this was back in 91. I was in basic training in Fort Leonard Wood, Missouri. And we were out on what they call a BRM, basic rifle marksmanship, you know, and we had to learn how to take apart our M16 and stuff. And there's about 120 of us, and they're constantly making you drink water. And there's approximately 2 urinals, and you have a 5-minute bathroom break. And so I went up to the sergeant. I said, "Hey, sergeant, there's like 120 of us. There's only 2 urinals, and we all got to pee really bad. You got 5 minutes." He says, "Well, go out into the woods, but remember the number one rule." And the number one rule at Fort Leonard Wood is do not mess with the wildlife.
All right.
And so, why is that the number one rule there?
Well, yeah, because they don't want you interfering with the wildlife, basically, you know, just...
Okay.
You
don't I didn't know if it was a threat, like, dude, there's wild hogs and they'll come at you.
Oh, right.
You know what I mean? I didn't know if it was something specific.
Wild hogs. Well, one of the worst things that you want to mess with is the snakes.
Yeah.
You know, and there they have water moccasins, rattlesnakes, and I guess they have diamondbacks, too. But, you know, this is in fall, and so I don't even go out, like, 20 feet, you know, and... So I see a log, I step over it, I'm leaning up against this tree, and I'm taking a whiz. And I thought it was, you know, my pee that was kind of rustling the leaves, when up in front of me, about 2.5 feet, was this snake. And it just kind of sits up, and it sits up right at waist height, you know, not very pleasant height for me. And it was just like a cobra, you know, just sitting in front of me in solid black. And I'm just freaking out, and all of a sudden, here comes one of my buddies, running up at me from the woods, and I'm just like, "Dude, stop!" And like trying not to move. And by the way, my urine stopped instantly when this thing came up. And he goes, "Holy crap, dude!" He goes, "They go get the sergeant." And I said, "Yeah, go get the sergeant. Whatever." So he goes and he gets the sergeant, and he's coming up behind me, and he goes, "Wow!" He goes, "That's a big snake." And he had grabbed a twig, and he goes, "I want you to step backwards." And I said, "I can't."
Why could you not step backwards?
And, well, because there was a log I had stepped over.
Ah, okay.
All right, gotcha. All right.
And if I was to step backwards, my knee would come out, and I was afraid it was going to strike me.
Yes.
So
mostly on your penis, yes.
Yeah. And he said, "Just go ahead and slowly." And as he's telling me to do this, I noticed that he's walking around to the behind the snake. And every now and then, the snake would turn and look at him. And then it would turn to look at me, and my heart was just going, "I hate snakes. I'm sorry. I almost want to say the F word, but man, I'm terrified of them that bad."
I'm with you.
And I had already tucked my snake away at this point.
Yeah, I was going to ask, are you standing there the whole time with your junk hanging out?
What's important, yes.
Yeah, I'm just standing there, and it's just staring at me, you know. And of course, my hands are like covering my crotch, and he goes, "Just step back slowly." And he's trying to get its attention. So as soon as I saw that snake turn around and look at him again, I went to take a step back. But it didn't take long for him to turn right back around and just lunged right at me. And it grabbed onto my arm and bit my arm. And I just grabbed it by the back of right behind the head. And I just ripped it right off of my arm. And it tore the skin open in my arm. And I just threw it. And you could just hear me screaming like a girl. And he just ran up behind him. And he just starts beating the crap out of it with this stick. And he beat it to death. And he went over there and he wrapped it up like it was rope, you know, and he stuck it in his little side pouch. And they went and measured it, and it was almost 17 feet long. He said,
"Damn."
It was the biggest snake he's ever seen.
Wait, is that a rat snake?
Oh. No, it was a black snake.
Just a black snake. Okay, all right. Yeah, well, I mean, no wonder you're terrified of snakes.
They're non-poisonous, and I thought it was poisonous.
Now, were you scared of snakes before this?
Oh, God, yes. Yeah, my best friend threw one on my chest, Burmese, and it would sat on my chest and it was like a cobra does, and just stared at me in the face. And I was like, "What the?" And after he just got done smacking it in the head and stuff, and I'm like, "Dude,
that's a big that's a big snake, man."
Yeah, it's a big snake.
It was a big snake.
Damn. Okay. Yeah, I hate snakes too. I've seen black snakes maybe 6-7 feet long.
17 feet. That's a big ass snake.
But nothing like that.
17 feet.
Tara Daly coming up from the Daily Mix Morning Show. We'll sit and spin. We've got the 10 funniest country songs of all times. And your emails on the way next from the men's room at KISW.com.